Hello everyone, my name is Mary Jawaida. I was born and raised in Bangladesh, and today I'm going to talk about my journey to America and what I'm doing now. I'm running for New York State Assembly District 37, and at this moment I'm at the podcast End of the Day with Anuj and Deepika.
Mary, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, inviting me.
You came here despite the bad weather and despite your extremely busy time. We really appreciate it.
Don't say bad weather. we got three waterfall here. Yes. So beautiful rain.
So to the audience, for those who are listening to us and watching us, it's raining outside. So we have the sound of the rain hitting the ceiling and hitting the window. So you might hear that, but as Mary said, actually we are enjoying the sound of the rain.
The sound of rain is actually not a sound effect. It's a real sound.
It's like music.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, so Mary, you came to America in 2001 with your husband. So let's start from the beginning. Like, what were your initial days like in New York City?
That was a rainy day, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. It was a rainy day. It was on November 16th, 2001. Uh-huh. It was not long after 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's like two months, 4 days. Yeah. One of my husband's friend, he picked us up and he brought us to Long Island City Street. It was old Long Island City. So I thought I was coming to America. It's going to be glorious and bling.
Like
yeah. Yeah, right. It's going to shine. Mm-hmm. And when I came here, it was a rainy day. And then we had a little bit traffic. And then when I entered Long Island City, it was old factories, broken street. Mm-hmm. Like, it was worse than Dhaka. Is it really New York?
Right.
So that was the beginning.
Right. Wow. So when you came here, and then we know that you are the founding manager of Time Television, the first Bangladeshi SD television in New York City. So I know that your husband was a journalist in Bangladesh. What were you doing in Bangladesh?
I was a student.
You were a student. Yeah. Okay.
I grew up in the village until 10th grade. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to Dhaka, the mm-hmm. capital city, for intermediate.
Right.
And then after that, I just started my bachelor. Mm-hmm. During the first year, I was 19 and I married my husband.
Right.
And after mm-hmm. that, in 1 year, I moved here.
And how long did you work for Time Television?
For 2 years.
2 years.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
We built this station from scratch. Mm-hmm. Without any prior experience in television. Mm-hmm. So I just graduated from NYU with media culture and communication. Mm-hmm. So we built the station, and within 2 years, it mm-hmm. became internationally known.
Right.
And it did very well. We needed to go through a lot of trials and errors, as you know, that it was the beginning, and we didn't know how to handle, mm-hmm. know how to, or what would be the good good strategy mm-hmm. that everybody will adopt. We had people from different mentalities, different ideas.
Right.
Yes. Some complied, some did not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we needed to go through a lot, but end of the day, it worked.
Yes. When you began working on these projects, and you were also studying, and you were also, you know, planning your family, as you were doing that in New York, what was the community support like? Hmm. What kind of friends did you have?
I did not do everything together, because I said that I already graduated when I started Time Television, but I did my education and child rearing together. Mm-hmm. So when after my marriage, I messed up my education in Bangladesh.
Right.
It didn't go well. Mm-hmm. Up to 12th grade, it was very good. Mm-hmm. My bachelor isn't good. So when I came here, I was given options to start at LaGuardia Community College, where I did. And after mm-hmm. 3 semesters, I was transferred to NYU. But what happened, by the time I was already a mother of one. So I needed to plan. There was a childcare center at Time Television. I mean, at LaGuardia Community College. Mm-hmm. I would put my daughter there and then plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. I was a student governor and then peer instructor. But that all happened within the same complex where my daughter was being watched for at LaGuardia Community College. So it worked together. Right. End of the day, we'd come home together.
When you were studying at LaGuardia College, and when you were studying at NYU, you just mentioned that you were in a students club and students governing body. So as an immigrant myself, it feels really hard to, you know, get into those clubs, because you have to communicate in English, obviously. And sometimes even I felt like my confidence level was too low to put my opinions in a meeting. So how did you overcome those challenges?
During that time, I saw that there was a poster. Uh-huh. So like, if you want to run for student government, mm-hmm. I had zero idea how it was like. So yeah. When I went to the student life, to say that I was completely in outlandish clothes, yeah. and then with hijab, yeah. Bengali person.
Right.
I would wear long kameez, mm-hmm. you know, kameez?
Yes. Yeah.
With a denim. Uh-huh. So I went there and I said, like, I want to run for student government. And they were looking at me like, because student government, how it worked was a slate.
Right.
Like, 10 people, like, they already formed their slate and they run against each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I was out of nowhere, a single person, okay. doesn't look like is going to be running and right. come here and say, I want to run for a student government. Mm-hmm. So they looked at me, but they didn't definitely express their any. I could see in the face, but yes. they didn't express yes. that. It's like, if you want to run, bring this at ABCD, you know, yeah. bring it here. And mm-hmm. they helped me take pictures and make the posters. Mm-hmm. And told me to reach out to the students. Mm-hmm. Still then, I didn't know what yeah. the capacity it can serve the community or students.
Right.
And then when I appeared in one of the debate, mm-hmm. that made everything change. Because then uh-huh. the first debate, the school, you know, I mean, the LaGuardia organized, it was mostly like slate versus slate. So I was the only independent there. Mm-hmm. And then after the debate, they were also happy that both slate wanted to make sure that I work with them.
Oh,
yeah. They were pretty much sure that both slate said, like, you are winning, mm-hmm. so join with us.
Right.
After you win, we're going to give you this position, that position. Mm-hmm. But I was independent that mm-hmm. the way I was. Then after I was elected, mm-hmm. The whole school, from yeah. student life office to uh-huh. the mentors to the student ex-student governors mm-hmm. were leaving, mm-hmm. and then the current two slaves who are running, mm-hmm. they all were confident about my race, like Mary is going to win.
Right.
And, they would express, they would take pictures with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after one, they offered me a position for foreign affairs.
Uh-huh.
Within less than 2 months, the student government VP transferred to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
The position was open and nobody knew what to do with that. So by the time, in two months, I was very confident. I already know how it operates.
Right, right.
And then I said, I want to be the VP. Mm-hmm. And they unanimously voted. And since then, I was vice president.
Wow.
I ended up.
Interesting. Now let's focus on your professional career. I know that you worked as an outreach specialist at Urban Health Plan, which is a network of health centers. So how did your professional career begin and how did it transition? We want to hear about it.
When I was at Time Television, one of the things that I needed to leave was the schedule.
Mm.
I felt very sad to leave Time Television. Mm. I still am attached though.
Yeah.
Any event or anything that mm. we organize together, but I cannot give the time that it requires to mm. work mm. as a program manager or in that capacity.
Okay.
So it was evening hours and South Asian producers and talents and guests. When they say they're going to come at 5, I would make promise to my children, I'm going to eat lunch, dinner at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't even show up at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So, and then the shooting and everything and packing up, that would take until 12
yeah.
p.m.
Yeah.
My babysitter and my children, it would take too long from them.
Yeah.
So it was very hard on part of mother constantly making promises and not keeping that promises emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Then dealing with those children that I'm telling them to be truthful, to be mm-hmm. good people. And I myself is living in a life that I cannot keep up with my own promises.
Right.
So I left and then I was looking for a job that would satisfy my thirst to serve the community
mm-hmm.
and also help me bring home money.
Yeah.
I applied to Urban Health Plan.
Right.
Urban Health Plan, I was an outreach specialist and my work was with the community grassroots organizations,
mm-hmm.
police precinct, political offices, then community boards, schools, places of worship, pretty much from bottom to top, everything.
Oh, right.
And to connect with my services and then to find out how we can partner to provide mm-hmm. services in the in those underserved communities.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a blessing. It was
right.
a blessing. And when I was there, I enjoyed the thing in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And especially it was such a blessing, the work, the way I said. I got to know a different Bronx too. It enriched my experience.
Oh.
And then when I came to this country, media, how they project, especially our Black and Hispanic community,
yes.
Latino community. Mm-hmm. Every time there was a black face on the television that is associated with the crime,
yes.
robbery, this or that. So growing up in America from as an immigrant, mm-hmm. you might not have that opportunity to get rid of that stereotype
yeah.
unless you have that first-hand experience. So when I work in the rounds, my jobs, over 75% people belong to either black community or Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, saw that beautiful people, how wonderful they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time, I never had one experience. I would go out at night at 10:30 p.m., 11 p.m. And I didn't have even one encounter where anyone attacked me or said something bad.
Right.
And I carried that beautiful spirit with me.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have that opportunity
yeah.
to work in the Bronx.
Yeah, I think that would defend the hearsay belief that, you know, okay, this part of the city is bad, this part of the city is unsafe, the people here
exactly.
are not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
and
your experience helped you
yes.
say that, okay, that's not true. So now, with all these experiences that you have had, I can see how gradually that kind of prepared you to run into politics.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how it began and what motivated you to come to this stage where you are running for the New York State Assembly.
Yeah, for our audience, I just want to plug this in. Mary Jubeda is running for New York Assembly District 37, which covers Long Island City and some sections of Astoria, Maspeth, Ridgewood, Sunnyside, and Woodside. What got you into politics, Mary? It's a tough road.
New York remains like a state for everyone,
mm-hmm.
whether they're rich, poor, middle class, black, brown, white, Hispanic, Asian,
mm-hmm.
Latino. It belongs to everyone and equally. So with that goal to bring one inclusive New York,
mm-hmm.
My journey begins.
Wow.
And this is a very hard journey,
yes.
a lot of sacrifice involved,
yes.
but I put myself in for that.
Mm. How supportive is your husband?
But when I told him that I was gonna run for New York Assembly, State Assembly, he said, why don't you run for what do you call City Council? Because
mm-hmm.
I still did not win and election is June 23rd. I do not control future, but I am hopeful. But he has that confidence upon me, always he had.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if you run for State Assembly, your life is gonna be fragmented for like part-time in Albany,
yeah.
part in New York.
Yeah.
How you're gonna handle children and family? Why don't you run for City Council so you can go to City Hall by train and come home right away?
Yeah, smart choice.
So, yeah.
Very smart.
But it was not about running for office, as you can see. It was the most, it is the important place where the change is most needed. It is the need-based thing. So he was upset for a week,
mm-hmm.
and then he tried to, he was confused. I wouldn't say that he did not want that, but he didn't know how to handle this new decision. So he went to my mother-in-law.
Oh, interesting.
He called my mother-in-law and my mother-in-law that my mother-in-law is not educated. He
oh.
was raised in the village with this thing. He loves me a lot. My husband is the first child of her.
Oh.
So he has this doted thing, like only not only upon him, upon me, that extended upon me too.
Yeah.
So he said, Mom, your daughter-in-law is wanting to, community people wanted from the neighborhood, and he knew those people too. So he said, Mom, people want your daughter-in-law to run for office. What do you think? So he had this thing that my mom-in-law would say, like, she's already doing a lot of things. She should spend time at home, taking care of the children. So he has some kind of support in his side. So my mother-in-law said, if God wants to give some honor to my daughter-in-law, my daughter, what's your problem?
Oh, wow.
He was like, huh? He stopped, and ever since, he's been very supportive.
Okay.
Nice.
That's very inspiring. And we want to wish you all the luck for a candidacy. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Anoop. Thank you, Deepika. It was beautiful spending time with both of you.
So on that note, it's time to say bye-bye. Before we do that, we would like to thank the English-speaking Union Arnik for providing us this fabulous space to record our conversation today. If you are a new immigrant in the U.S., please get in touch with Arnik ESU because they provide free English language classes and professional development classes for newly arriving young immigrants.
Yeah, and please follow us on YouTube, on Spotify and iTunes, wherever you find us, and keep supporting us.
Yes, time to say bye-bye. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. We have the 100th episode of our weekly podcast at the end of the day coming soon.
So, we would like to invite you to our 100th episode.
We would like to acknowledge you and celebrate all the amazing guests we had in our podcast.
So please send us your feedback.
Send us your feedback and wishes for us.
Text us, send us your audio feedback, video feedback, anything you want to say for our 100th episode.